I'm Lisanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. All beings on this planet have ways of protecting themselves. They all have defense mechanisms to protect themselves from if they perceive a predator or an attacker. Plants may have thorns or spines to keep them protected from animals. They also may have chemical defenses using chemical compounds stored in them like terpenoids and phenolics, P-H-E-N-O-L-I-C-S, that are ready for release when attacked. And this is how onions actually protect themselves. And we all know about the tears that happen when we cut onions. Well, there's a reason for that. It's a defense mechanism. When we cut into an onion, we damage its defense as the cells break. And this triggers the onion to release sinpropanethiol, S oxide, which is like a chemical weapon. And since this chemical is volatile sulfur, it diffuses into the air quickly and then can easily reach your lacrimal glands, i.e. the ones in your eyes, and the one that is responsible for the continual release of tears, of fluid, which cleanses and eliminates irritants. And so when that happens, the eyes may experience a burning sensation and irritation. And this doesn't harm your eyes, but it is a way for the onion to say, hey, I perceive I'm under attack, and I'm going to make sure that you know about that. This is a defensive reaction. And like most defensive reactions on the planet, because it is coming out of either fear or pain, as it relates to whatever that sentient being perceives is going on the receiving end of it, it's going to look and feel and probably be pretty fierce. And where humans and animals are concerned, that's why we perceive most of these things as an attack, because our own defensive properties then and our own defensive and self-protective nature gets activated. And so just like the onion, we also perceive that we're under an attack. And when you have recently adopted, or maybe not so recently adopted, a companion animal to bring them into your home, they also might have reactions to being pushed too hard or too far in what they perceive as pressure against their defensive mechanisms, again, especially after an adoption. It takes time. It takes time for them to become comfortable with you and vice versa. This usually happens when our expectations, which frankly shouldn't be there at all, in any case, with any being, gets in the way of our desire to have a heart bond relationship with them. We perceive that they should be acting in a certain way, behaving in a certain way, doing some things and not doing other things because they're now inside our house. And I think it's important to remember that they chose you. And while they did choose you, there's still going to be an unpeeling, if you will, of sorts, a releasing of protective layers that they may have built up. especially if they were in another environment before they came to be with you. And likely they would have been. They could have been homeless and on the streets. They could have been in another guardian's home who had to surrender them suddenly or maybe not so suddenly. It's just going to take a while. It's just going to take some time. And as I share more about this, I would invite you to keep the image of the onion in mind. Because as you'll hear, it's not just their layers that are releasing, it's your layers that are being released and rearranged based on your own history with animals in your lifetime. It's incredibly intertwined in the world of energy. Nothing on this planet ever, ever, ever happens in a vacuum. Time is an illusion for them, as Einstein said. In general, it's an illusion, and everything is connected. Our species is the only one who don't see it that way. They also are as sentient we are, if not more so, because they are so deeply connected to the planet, to each other, and to us. Every single time they come into our lives or leave our lives, there are awarenesses to be gained and celebrated. It doesn't really matter if those are perceived to be sunshine awarenesses or shade awarenesses. And while you might think that it's older animals who have more layers to shed than younger ones, I can say that at times puppies and kittens who perhaps were taken from their moms before the time that they should have been taken from them, and before the time that they stopped nursing, they went on solid food, their mom said, yeah, I think you're going to be okay. I have other things to do. Don't nurse for me anymore. They perhaps have deeper layers to release. And as you might imagine, those deeper protective wounds may take a lifetime to heal, and they may not heal at all. And I'll talk more on that in just a little bit. So starting with the most recent home, the reason for adoption, as you might imagine, is widely varied. I do perceive that some griefs are easier for the animal to release than others. And what's important is that you, the new guardian, understand as much as you can about where they came from and why they came to be with you. Overwhelmingly, that's the question I get asked the most by clients across the board and regardless of any behavior issues going on at the time. Sometimes I'll get the full story from the animal if there's no information at intake by the shelter or rescue group. It may be a full color video of who they were with, what happened. And sometimes I'll just get a black and white photograph of usually a main event that happened. When it's just the one photograph, that's when I know they'd rather not revisit what happened and may have already dealt with the grief, and or they just don't see it as relevant to their current situation because they're just so good at letting go of what no longer serves them. If there's something to be released, I'll be told about it, and then together with the new guardian, we negotiate a structure, a process for supporting the animal as they release. Because it's always and only about healing for them and finding as much joy in the present as they can. Doesn't that sound like a fabulous way to be? I think certainly in cases where the previous guardian transitioned is a unique kind of grief. If you know this about your new adoption, I think supporting them in this process is really crucial to how they settle into your home. In other words, hold space for their grief. Understand that this was a significant change for them, a significant transition. And so if they may appear to be a little distant from you in the beginning, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with their love for their previous guardian and making that shift away from a physical and energetic relationship to just a purely energetic one. As I've always said, they're usually much better at that than we are. I would add into that your own layers of grief that may be releasing if you've had a companion animal who's recently transitioned themselves. I think sometimes we think we're doing the best thing in adopting right away after a beloved companion's transition, and sometimes that does work. As long as your energy field is completely clear of any grief at their transition, that's kind of the important thing. If we try to replace the one who's no longer with us physically with the one who is also dealing with their own grief, kind of no matter what that is, you can see how those ripple effects of energy, just like in a pond where two different stones have been thrown into the pond at the same time, those ripples may crash into each other and frankly not really serve anyone in the long run. Because they are masters at the language of energy, they'll already know what you're processing and who was there before them. Why would they choose such an environment? Because they're so clear about their own soul awarenesses. It could very well be that they know they need to work through this with you. Because they're so good at unconditional love, they know that time, as I keep on saying, is such a great healer if we choose to heal. There are other kinds of grief with which they may have to contend. What about having to leave their original adoptive family through no fault of their own? When I was first starting to volunteer at the local animal shelter and becoming aware of my ability to communicate with animals, overwhelmingly, that's what I heard the most. And that's what was the most challenging for me to deal with. I would hear, "Where's my family? How come I'm not at home? Why am I here? I don't understand." And there was such fear and such confusion about why they happened to be there. And it could be that they had to leave their original adoptive family through no fault of their own. Say, in the case of a relationship ending in a divorce. You might be surprised to know that they often have strong feelings and a strong knowingness about with whom they are supposed to live after the ending of a relationship, because that's often directed by soul path rather than along property lines, which animals are still considered property. For the most part, if the divorcing couple is amicable about the ending of the relationship, the animals will be fine with it as well. Their reactive behavior and their defensiveness may come into play if someone tries to split the baby, as it were, with custody issues. It happens. Sometimes that can work, and sometimes they just kind of feel like they're a pawn going back and forth and back and forth with not really having a home of their own. And what if the family that they're with, their former adopted family, a single or a couple with kids or a single with kids, has to move to a place that doesn't allow animals? I think that's the worst kind of grief at all, because everyone is grieving. The animal who is separated from their families and the family who is separated from their beloved animal family member, nobody's at fault here. And with the state of the economy right now, I shudder to think how often that this is going on these days. And if you happen to be the new adoptive guardian, holding space is the best thing you can do. If you happen to be the guardian who is needing to surrender your companion animal so that you can find a home, I invite you to hold space for yourself. You are doing the best thing for you. And by surrendering them, you are also gifting them the opportunity of finding whatever new adoptive family may be waiting for them out there. So holding space is always good, allowing everybody to grieve and to put on hold a bit, if you will, the future of your relationship with them. They can't move into what will be or even is until there's a release of what was. No being can do that, really. Beyond grief, there may be abandonment issues, such as with a stray, no matter the species. The intention to adopt into a home with a full and an open heart is always best, as I've said, rather than wanting to replace an animal that's still being grieved. I waited 2 years. For me, that was my personal choice. Before I came to a place that I said, why am I denying myself the option of giving more animals a home out of fear of how it may end? And I came to the conclusion that that was silly for me to do that. I'm not immune to all of the human experience aspects of emotion when it comes to family members. Most definitely not. And moving into that place, I encountered two bonded cats who came from different places and who had found each other at the shelter. They were put together because both had what were seen as behavior issues that were made better by the other's presence. So in other words, because they were together with each other, they found comfort and those behaviors started to decrease. And even still, my sweet girl, Lil D, came home wearing a onesie because she was stress grooming. And I told myself if she had to wear it forever, see what I did there, if you are, ever, that was fine with me because this was her journey. The onesie then was set aside within 3 months. My sweet boy, Hunter, was originally adopted out as a barn cat and returned to the shelter because he started pulling his fur out due to stress. My first inkling of the more active, feral aspect of Hunter's personality came when I was naming them. My first two cats' names given to them by the shelter were perfect, and there were no other new names that came to me, or more accurately, came to me from the animals themselves. And this time it was different, and it will be different every time you adopt. Hunter resisted being given a name and that indicated he belonged to a human. He didn't want to be a Stuart or a Graham or Flynn Rider, which is the name that the shelter had given him. He kept repeating that he was good at hunting. So we settled on Hunter. No one else would know until now that it's a compromise, and I wouldn't be that guardian at the vet's office who just calls her cat. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But we settled on Hunter, and he and I both know what it is, and we're fine with that. And because I don't know much about their first year of life before they came to me, I still have a hunch that both were likely abandoned fairly young. It's paramount that the human commitment to be their forever home is in place. Because, as I've said before, they'll read you like yesterday's newspaper. There's a working theory among those who work with recently adopted animals, and it's this. The amount of time they've been without a guardian is the same amount of time they'll need to become comfortable in your home, and then double that amount of time for them to be fully and completely released of any protective layers that may have been put in place because their most basic needs of shelter, food, and love had not been met. So in the case of Lil D and Hunter, it will likely take about 2 years before their personalities and likes and dislikes are fully apparent. If there are health issues that are present, as what was present in both of them, or that appear within the first few days, weeks, or months, there may be setbacks that occur. Just when their trust in you is starting to be deeply rooted, that's paused or redirected because they're going to go to the vet. Yes, it's what you do as a guardian, and yes, at the same time, it is so important to embrace where they are in their relationship development with you. Most importantly, do not take it personally. Because those structures that you put in place for them are the very structures that they need, which is why consistency is so very important, no matter the species, to press up against these structures so that they know where they are and they feel secure. They need to know that these structures are made of concrete and not cardboard. So that if they need to lean up against the structures and even press against them to reassure themselves that they are, in fact, there, It's so important that there not be a, why are you pushing me? Why are you pressing against that boundary? Why are you acting this way? Why? I don't understand, and this bothers me, and it makes me frustrated and angry, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying that you can't have those emotions. I'm saying that I'm inviting you to be very aware of those emotions and kind of nip them in the bud once you understand the why of their being there. Because the more neutral you can be with all of your animal companions, regardless of any kind of shift or change they're going through, you could be adding a whole human family member to their environment. They're definitely going to react to that. You could be spending more time at work. They're definitely going to react to that. You could be moving in with your parents. You could be moving in with your brother or your sister because of everything that's going on, especially in this country right now. That's a big shift for them. That's something that may very well, as I talked about abandonment earlier, kind of reactivate that original wound of abandonment. In those cases, I refer to both people as well as animals, but since we're talking about animals, everyone has a particular emotional bandwidth. At least that's how I look at it. At times, there will be things that are outside that individual's bandwidth, and those are the things that they tend to have a reaction to, that they're not comfortable with. And it doesn't really matter what that is. That's just their stuff, their thing. With animals who have been abandoned in particular, I think, sometimes that wound is so severe and so deep that that bandwidth appears to be permanently narrowed and permanently fixed in a certain place. It is simply not going to work. If you try to force that bandwidth to open, force those layers to unpeel before the animal is ready to release the layers, before they feel comfortable doing that, because that bandwidth, as I said, may be permanently fixed in place. So much better to step into that place of that bandwidth and find all of those things that they are comfortable with and celebrate those. And forget about expanding the bandwidth. Because sometimes what happens is that the more comfortable and confident they feel inside the bandwidth, that's a remarkable healing effect for them. And so sometimes they can press the bandwidth open themselves, and then you'll find yourself in a really magical new place. But as much as you can, and overall, the bottom line is follow their lead. It's so much better when you follow their lead, because they really, amongst all of us, and certainly if we're talking about animals and humans, they definitely know much better than we do the world of energy and not only what's in their highest and best good, but also what's in our highest and best good. And at least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll definitely see videos and pictures of Hunter and Lil D on Instagram. I invite you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events such as new classes and online psychic fairs. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.